you guys requested, which is the topic of Hashgacha Pratis. And we'll start with the Mahalach of the Ramban, which is what we're going to do today. The Makoro sheets that I just gave out are Makoros on the Ramban's Mahalach on Hashgacha. As you can see from the Makoros, and probably are aware of, Ramban's Mahalach on Hashgacha and Providence is quite complex, difficult, perhaps inexplicable. We'll try to suggest the Mahalach, but it's also one that's very significant and I think will help us in terms of our Yom Tov HaPesach. So the first Mekor is the famous Ramban. I imagine all of you have seen this from the end of Parshas Bo. It's going on the Pasuk of Ulutatafos Be'enach. The end of Parshas Bo is when HaKadosh Baruch Hu begins to give us mitzvos, including tefillin. And we'll start from where the text is a little bigger. And we'll go through the beginning somewhat quickly because it's not our primary focus. Our primary focus is going to be on Hashgacha, which is later on, but we'll read the whole thing. So from where it says Va'ata. Va'ata omer l'cha klal b'tam mitzvos rabos. I'm going to tell you a rule that relates to many mitzvos. Hine me'ez hayos avoda zara ba'olam mi'yemei enosh hechelu adeos l'hishtabesh be'emunah mehem kofrim be'ikr ba'omrim ki olam kadmon. So ever since the times of Enosh, there have been various forms of heresy. And the Ramban is now going to describe various forms of heresy, different forms of kfira. So the first were those that were kofrim be'ikr, and they claimed that the world was eternal. Kachashu b'ashem v'yomru lohu. They denied God's existence entirely. Umehem makhishim b'yediyaso apratis v'amru echa yeda kel. There were those who believed in God, but denied his knowledge of particulars. Why they would do that, we'll talk about a little later, what might have motivated them and why they're wrong. But this is reflected in the pasuk that says, Eich Yedakel. How does God know? God exists, but he may have even created the world, but he's not aware of what's going on, or he doesn't care about what's going on in our lower world. Umehem, shiyodu biyadiyo machishim bashkacha v'yasu adam kidgei hayam shelo yashkiach hakel behem v'enimem onesh oschar. There are those who go ahead and they believe in God's knowing. After all, why wouldn't God know about everything? But they deny hashkacha, meaning to say that God made the world, he knows what's going on in the world, but he's not involved in the world. Yomru azav Hashem esar. It's a pasuk that reflects this idea, the idea that God has abandoned the land. He created the world, but he's left it. V'kasher yirtza Elokim be'edo b'yachid v'yasa iman mofes v'shunei minhago shel olam v'tivo yizbar l'kol bitul hadeos ha'ela kulam. So when God makes a miracle to individuals or to a nation by changing minhago shel olam, what we call a miracle, something supernatural, something that deviates from the norms of nature, so then it becomes clear that all of these ideologies are false. Ki amofes hanifla morish yesh leolam Elohim echadsho. The idea of a miracle proves creation. We talked earlier in the year, I think, about why that is, why miracles and creation go hand in hand. The yodeya umashkiach v'yachol. Moreover, God knows what's going on. Involvement obviously presumes knowledge of what's going on in the lower world, hashkacha, and ability to do anything that he wishes. V'kasher yamo fesahu nigzar tchila mepi navi. And when that miracle was previously predicted by a prophet, so then yizbarer mimenu od amitas hanevuah. That too proves the veracity of prophecy. Kidaber Elokim El Es Adam Vigales Odo Al Avadav Anaviim Vizkayim Imze HaTorah Kula. In other words, there were those that denied the ability of the notion of prophecy, that God could speak to man or would speak to man, and this too is disproven. So when a miracle takes place, and especially when it's predicted by a Navi, so then all of the basic fundamental principles of the Torah have been proven. V'lachein, yomar kasuv b'mofsim, l'man teda, ki ani Hashem b'karav ha'aretz, lohoros al hashgacha, ki lo azav osa l'mikrim kida'atam. That is why the psukim stress when the makos take place, l'man teidun ki ani Hashem b'karav ha'aretz, that I am God in the land. Meaning to say, if we stop for a moment and think about what the purpose of the makos are. Why did Hashem bring the makos? So maybe initially you'll say, well, it was to allow the Jewish people to go free. But clearly that's not true. Really, on the contrary, Hashem kept the Jews in Egypt longer by hardening Pharaoh's heart, whatever that means, in order to carry out the makos. So clearly the purpose of the makos was not to allow the Jews to leave. Well, maybe it was a form of retribution and punishment. And that's certainly true, and part of it, and the Egyptians that suffered were deserving of that suffering for the evil deeds that they did. But that, too, is not the purpose. First of all, that could have been carried out in a more straightforward way. And second of all, what Ramban is noting over here, which is, we should actually look at the psukim. The psukim themselves tell us the purpose of the makos. And again, when we read the psukim in Parshios of Va'era and Bo, it tells us what the purpose of the makos are. It says on several occasions things like Laman Teidu, Laman Yedu, and what are they? They are all these basic principles of the Torah. Laman Teidu Ki Ani Hashem. The makos prove God's existence, like the Ramban says. If God didn't exist, there could be these supernatural events. L'man teidun ki ani Hashem b'karav ha'aretz, l'man teida ki ani Hashem b'karav ha'aretz, the pasuk that the Ramban just quoted, which show hashkacha. L'man teidun ki ein kamoni b'chol ha'aretz, so that you know that there is no other power besides me. In other words, having proven God exists, and God's involved in the land, it's not just God of heavens, but God on earth, the psukim say that to show that there is no other force or power besides God. And in fact, actually, interestingly enough, if you look on the Seder, we say, Datzach, Adash, Bachav, we divide the makos up into three groups. The psukim also quite clearly divide them up into three groups. So really, it's four. It's three, 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 and one. And they're divided up by their purpose. The first three show Hashem's existence, L'man teidun ki ani Hashem. Then we have Hashkacha, the pasuk that the Ramban has just quoted, L'man teida ki ani Hashem b'karav ha'aretz. And finally, again before the next three, again these psukim take place in Moshe's warning of Paro before each set to show that there is no power besides God. The truth is actually, Maka number 10 is somewhat different. There the pasuk says something like Laman Teidun Ki Afli Hashem Bein Mitzrayim Ubein Yisrael. The purpose, as opposed to the first nine, which were all about God, showing God's existence as Hashkacha, number 10 is about a distinction. I remember once hearing from Rostav, that is why you find a lot of differences between Makkah 10 and the first nine. For example, before Makkah 10, the Jewish people have to show their worthiness. Omer lach b'damai chayi, Omer lach b'damai chayi. It's with Dam Pesach and Dam Mila that we were zocha to be protected. You could ask, well, one second, why all of a sudden do they need these special schuyos? It's not like they were punished or suffered in the other previous nine plagues. The answer is, that's true. But with respect to the first nine plagues, it was all about Hashem. L'man teidun ki ani Hashem. B'karav ha'aretz. So the fact that the Jews weren't punished was derech agav, that was part of the nes, but it was about Hashem. Whereas before the 10th plague, which is all about the Havdalah, l'man teidun ki afle Hashem, to show the distinction between Kal Yisrael and Mitzrayim, so for that to take place, it was necessary for Kal Yisrael to show that they're worthy of distinction. And therefore, in order for them to be saved for the 10th plague, they had to go ahead and do mitzvos, and that's Dam Pesach and Dam Mila. And these mitzvos specifically, right, why is it that Pesach and Mila are the only two mitzvos that are chayiv kares, mitzvos asay that are chayiv kares if one fails to fulfill them? The answer is that these mitzvos are signs of allegiance to God. In the case of Mila, let's say personal allegiance. It's something that's irrevocable. It's you're showing your allegiance to God, making a sign on your body that you can't go back on. In the case of Korban Pesach, it's national allegiance. The Jewish people could not stay in Mitzrayim after they brought Korban Pesach. That explains all of the mitzvos relating to Korban Pesach, that they had to bring the animal through the streets, that they had to put the blood in the door, they had to do it early. Rambam even says that's the reason for why the Torah insists that it be roasted and not cooked, right? What's the difference between roasting and cooking? Make a barbecue, the whole neighborhood notices, right? One guy makes a barbecue, you can smell it from blocks away. You cook something in a pot in your kitchen, so, you know, you could smell it in the kitchen. So, why was that important? The Pasuk says that is it possible that we would slaughter the god of the Egyptians, the sheep, the lo iskalunu, and they won't stone us? By going ahead and publicly showing their allegiance to God and their rejection of the Egyptian deity. So they were showing as a people that we're going to follow God no matter where he takes us. This was the point of no return. And that is the idea of the Korban Pesach. Hence, failure to do Korban Pesach is what? It's saying we're not showing our allegiance to God. So that's why before Korban Pesach they had to do these, before Makas Bechoros, they have to do these things. This is why also there's so much of a focus. For example, Korban Pesach, the Zos Chukas HaPesach called Ben Nechar Lo Yolcha Bo. Why is Zos Chukas HaPesach called Ben Nechar? Right? There are many chukim of the Pesach. Like we said, you can't break the bones, you can't cook it, you can't. Zos Chukas HaPesach, why? Because that's the defining element of what a Korban Pesach is. Korban Pesach is all about our showing our allegiance to God in this permanent and irrevocable way. Anyway, that's number 10. But the first 9, the Ramban here is emphasizing, is all about God teaching these basic core beliefs to the Jewish people, and in fact, the entire world. L'man teidun, l'man teida. So continuing where we left off. Ki lo azav l'mikrim kedatam. The Mako showed that there was hashgacha. God did not abandon the world l'mikra, to happenstance, to nature, as they maintained. V'amar l'man teidun. Tedaki l'Hashem ha'aretz, l'horos ala chidush. L'Hashem ha'aretz refers to the notion that there is bria yesh me'ayin, ki heim shelo shibra'a me'ayin. V'amar bavur teda, ki en kamoni b'chol ha'aretz. L'horos ala yecholes, shu shalit bakol. Ein me'akev biado. The pasuk ki en kamoni shows that he's all-powerful. There's nothing that can stop him, no other powers or forces that are independent or real besides his. All these, every single l'man teda, l'man teidun, l'man yedun of the Makos all relate to beliefs that were either denied or at least questioned by the Egyptians. So the purpose of these Makos were to show their truth. Ki imkein ha'usos amos magdolim edim ne'amanim ve'munas ha'borei uvetorah kula. Thus, these plagues served as testimony to the truth of God and his Torah. And that is the purpose of Makos. And that's why, by the way, it was so important that the Jews remain in Egypt so as to allow the Makos to be performed, that they couldn't leave earlier because these lessons had to be communicated. Ubavur ki HaKadosh Baruch Hu lo yasa osu mofes b'chol dor le'enei kol rasha o kofer. And since it is the case that God does not perform miracles in every generation to rebut every heretic. In other words, just because in every generation there are going to be people that deny these fundamental principles of faith, God does not, in each and every generation, perform these miracles to rebut those claims. This is essentially a once-in-history event. Of course, there were many overt miracles even after Yetzias Mitzrayim, but there was never so many miracles in such a short period of time. And moreover, the miracles that took place later, as the Rambam emphasizes, were for their needs. In other words, to fulfill particular needs. There was a need for a miracle to protect the Jews from their enemies, let's say in the case of Sancheirev, or because they needed food in the desert in the case of Mun. There was never this type of miracles where the Psukim tell us their sole purpose was in order to prove these various fundamentals. Yitzava osanu shenase tamid zikaron va'os l'asher ra'u einenu. So therefore Hashem commanded us that we should make a constant remembrance to what we saw. V'natika davar b'neinu, and pass that on to our children, uvneim levneim, uvneim ledor acharon. V'hichmir me'od b'inin hazeh, k'mo shechiev karis b'achilas chametz. And you see the significance of this from the onshin associated with the surim relating to Pesach. For example, that achilas chametz, which is all about remembering these miracles, is an Isser Karis. Almost all the other Isuri Achila, Nevelos, Trefos, Shkatzim, V'Amasim, are all Lavin, but not Karis. Why is Chametz so Chamor? For this reason. Uvazivas HaPesach, as we mentioned, or failure to bring the Karban Pesach, is Chayv Karis. Vitzrich, Shenichtav, Koma, Shenira, Eleinu, Bosus, Umovsim, Al Yadenu, Valbein Einenu, moreover, were meant to remember them constantly by writing these in tefillin on our arms and on our head, the lichtov oso od al pischei habatim hamezuzah b'mezuzos. That line, by the way, that mezuzos are zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim is not at all clear. It doesn't say anything about Yetzias Mitzrayim in the two parshios that appear in tefillin. There's what to say about that. It's, I think, an important thing to discuss. The Brisker Rav is a Mahalik, actually, and there are other Mahalim, but maybe not for today. Something for now to think about. V'shenazkir zeh befinu baboker v'erev k'mo she'amru emes v'yatzev de'oraisa. We are instructed to remember Yetzias Mitzrayim both morning and night. That's a mitzvah de'oraisa. Mimashakasov l'mantiz gos yom tzeis chamerit Mitzrayim kol yamei chayacha. So the Ramban is assuming Kol Yimei Chayacha means Biyamum Valelos. V'shenase Sukkah b'chol shana. It's not just Pesach. Sukkah as well is Eich Letzias Mitzrayim. V'chein kol kiyotze b'zeh b'hen mitzvos rabos Eich Letzias Mitzrayim. And even besides the mitzvos of Pesach and Sukkah, there are many other mitzvos. Again, he's already mentioned things like Tefillin and Shema and the like. V'akol lios b'chol adoros edus b'mosin shelo lo yishtakchu v'lo yiyah Pischon pe lekofer lakrish emunas halokim. So we constantly remember it to leave no place for any reasonable sort of denial. Ki akonim mezuza bezuz echad vekava bepischo veneskavin binyana kvar hoda bechidush haolam uviyadias habor v'ashkacha. So he says a remarkable thing. A person goes ahead and they do a mitzvah, a simple, easy mitzvah, like buying a mezuzah for a zuz. I don't know, maybe there's been inflation in the prices of mezuzahs, but okay, even a mezuzah, it's not too expensive, $45, right? You buy a mezuzah, and you hang it up, and at least, if you do that mitzvah thoughtfully, so your very act is essentially, right, like he says, the kava b'pischo v'niskaven b'inyana, right, which is a very important point, something we could talk about another time, but the importance of thinking about what you're doing when you do mitzvos, not just to do mitzvos without thought. And if one does mitzvos that way, they've largely failed to fulfill the purpose of the mitzvah. But if you do, if you think about the mitzvah when you do it, kfar hoda b'chadosh ha'olam uv'yediyas ha'borei v'hashkachaso. So that very small act is an act in which the person has shown his belief in the creation of the world and God's hashkacha. V'gam b'nevuah, v'hemin b'chol pinos ha'torah. Milvad shehoda shechased ha'borei agadol me'od al osei ritono. Beyond showing his belief in all these Ikari Emunah, he's also shown his belief that God has done kindness to us. Shotzianu mi'oso avdos l'cheiros v'kavod gadol l'zakos avoseim ha'chafatzim b'yirashimo. Ulefikach amru havizar b'mitzvah kala k'bachamurah shekulon chamuros v'chavilo setel. What's the pshat in the Mishnah Perkei Avos? He's zar b'mitzvah kala b'chamurah. Because a mitzvah kala isn't really so kal. Because even a mitzvah kala, like kviyas mezuzah, is one in which one shows, affirms their belief in Hashem and his chesed, and Yetzias Mitzrayim, and Hashkacha, and the like. Shebechol sha'a adam mode bahen le'lokav. Every time we do any mitzvah, we are acknowledging our belief and showing gratitude towards God. And indeed, v'kavanas kol ha'mitzvos shenamin belokenu v'nodei lav shubra'anu. That is the purpose of all mitzvos, so that we acknowledge those ideas. V'hu kavanas ha'yitzira. We actually talked about this a couple weeks ago, so we're not going to spend time on this now, but this is in fact the point of the entire creation of the world. She'en lanu tamachar b'yitzira arishona v'en kel elyon chafetz b'tachtonim milvad she'eda adam v'yodel elokav shebra'ahu. That is the whole purpose of creation, so that we acknowledge God's existence and offer gratitude for his having done this. V'kavanas romimus hakol b'tfilos. That is why we pray out loud. V'kavanas batei knesios uschus tfilos rabim. That's why we gather together in shul. We don't just daven alone. One would have thought tefillah b'yachid should be the ideal form of tefillah. It's an intimate encounter with God. No, says the Ramban. The whole purpose of tefillah, or the main purpose of tefillah and mitzvot, and even creation, is for us to publicly affirm our belief. So we pray together, and we pray out loud, and we proudly declare our belief. Zeu she'yeh levnei adam makom yiskabtu v'yodu l'kel shebra'am v'himtzi'am. In fact, that relates to the purpose of Yamim Tovim, as the Ramban says in Parshas Emor. That's what the idea of a Moed is as well. V'zu kavanas m'ma she'amru zal v'yikru el elokim b'chazaka mikan ata lamed she'tfila tzricha kol chatzifa natzach l'bisha. I think we talked about that. We won't go back to it. So here's actually the point that we were trying to get to. This paragraph. Umenanisim agadolam amefursamim, adamode moda benisim hanistarim. And from these nisim gedolim mefursamim, in other words, from the overt miracles, a person is moda. A person recognizes the hidden miracles. Shehem yisod haTorah kula. These ideas of hidden miracles, we'll define what hidden miracles are shortly. The idea of a neis nister for the Ramban is actually far more complex than we usually assume what a neis nister means. Ramban's position, I don't think we'll get to it today. What does a neis nister actually mean? He includes some very interesting things in a neis nister, like Yocheved's giving birth at 130. But perhaps we'll get to that next time. Be that as it may, neis and nistarim, we'll call them for now, hidden miracles, which are the Yisod HaTorah Kula, the foundation of the entire Torah. Right? It's not the Nisim Geluyim that are the Yisod HaTorah Kula, but it's the Nisim Nistarim, it's the hidden miracles, it's the miracles that could be denied that are the Yisod HaTorah Kula. She'en la'adam chelak b'Torah Moshe Rabbeinu, for a person has no portion in Torah Moshe Rabbeinu, ad shenamin b'chol devareinu u'mikreinu she'kulam Nisim Ein b'hem teva u'minhago shel olam. Until a person believes that all are things, and all occurrences are all miracles. There is no teva or minhago shel olam at all. There's nothing seemingly that's natural. Bein berabim, bein biyachid. And this is true not just with respect to the nation as a whole. It's not just true that the nation as a whole is entirely guided by Hashgacha, but for the Yachid as well. El im yaseh mitzvos yatzlichenu scharo. But if you do mitzvos, then you'll be rewarded, they'll bring you success. Vim yavor aleihem yachrisenu onsho. And if you violate them, your punishment will be that you're cut off. Hakol b'gzeiras elyon. Now the Ramban here seems to be advocating a very far-reaching form of Hashgacha in which everything is subject to providence. Everything seems to be decreed by God. The Ramban here is telling us we shouldn't see overt miracles as the exception, but rather, if you wish, they're the exception that proves the rule. They are what demonstrates that God is constantly running the world. Now, one interesting question you could ask here, and we're going to begin answering this question now. It's really complex, but how is it that overt miracles demonstrate that everything which appears natural is in fact miraculous? In other words, why couldn't it be the case that when Hashem performs overt miracles, like Kriyas Yamsuf and the 10 plagues, so those are obviously Hashgachas Hashem, but what happens to me on a daily basis is not Hashgacha. Ramban here seems to be saying that Nisim HaGadolam and Morforsanim Ademo Deb Nisim HaNistarim. But why? Again, the Nisim HaGadolam HaMorforsanim surely prove that God has the ability to control everything should he wish. In other words, there's no doubt that the fact that Hashem could perform Kriyas Yamsuf shows that he could do anything he pleases, and that if he wishes to intervene at any point, he may do so. That's clear. That's simple. But how do I know that he does? How do I know from the fact that occasionally God intervenes that he is constantly intervening? Maybe he occasionally intervenes and most of the time allows the world to function on its own. Minhago shel olam. Ramban here says that one shows the other. But my question is, how? Okay. Let's read on. Asher zacharti kvar, that should be a part of the previous paragraph, right? Hakol b'gzeiras elyon asher zacharti kvar. Hizkarti kvar. V'yisparsimu anisim anistarim b'inyan harabim kasher yavau b'yudei ha-Torah b'inyan ha-brachu saklal. So I think here he's beginning to answer the question I just asked, which is that we see them in the brachos and the klalos, at least with respect to the rabbim. Note that word, that's a very important word, right? Meaning to say, the brachos and the klalos in the Torah, like in Parshas Bechukosai and Kisavo, as well as other places, in which the Torah says, if you do follow the Torah, then there'll be rain and dew and prosperity and plenty, and if you don't follow the Torah, there'll be famine and disease and war. So those, in fact, do demonstrate God's frequent involvement. Meaning to say, the descriptions of the reward for following God's commandments or punishment for violating His commandments are not nisim geluyim. Hashem doesn't say, you know, well, you'll have Kriyas Yamsuf and your enemies will be smitten by downside Akinim. No. It's a type of Hashgacha that we could classify as Nisim Nistarim. But so they do show those Psukim, Parshas Bechukosai does show that there's constant Hashgacha even not in the realm of Nisim Giluyim. But note also that the Ramban here says Rabim, because Parshas Bechukosai, Kisavo, generally the Yehudim in the Torah are addressed to the nation, to the community. They're not addressed to individuals. It doesn't say, if you follow the laws of the Torah, then you will be prosperous. And if you violate the laws of the Torah, then you will be impoverished. It says, if the in Bechukosai Telechu, Mitzosai Tishmoru, Vasisem Osam, then, Venasadi Gishmechan Bito, Venasnar Tzivula, Veitza Sadei Tein Piryo. It's addressed to the Rabbin. Now, before, if you remember, the Ramban noted that Kulam Nisim Embam Teva Menhago Shal Olam Bein Berabim Bein Biyachid. But the Ramban here writes that the Udim in the Torah are addressed to the Rabbin. The Amru Kol Agoyim Almea Sakachal Arz Hazos. In other words, these Psukim predict that it's not just the Jewish people that will appreciate this, but the whole world will appreciate this, because when the world sees the Jewish people suffering as they do, they will say, what is the cause for all of this? V'amru al asher azvu es bris Hashem alokei avosam. She's parsim adavr l'chol ha'umo shehu me'es Hashem be'on sham. The whole world will see that God is punishing the Jewish people for their sinfulness. The Amar Bekiyum, and it's not just in our punishments, though sometimes when you study our history, there seems to be more of that than the good stuff, but it's also true with respect to the good things. V'ra'u kol amei haaretz, ki shem Hashem nikra alacha v'yaru mimeka. Okay. So here the Ramban is advocating a very far-reaching form of providence, seemingly, that everything is hashkacha, that there is no such thing as tavar minhago shalolam, and not only that, but someone who believes in tavar minhago shalolam ain lo chelak b'taras Moshe. This idea, this sentiment is expressed as well, almost identically, but with some even additional details, in Ramban's Drashas Tars Hashem Tamima, which is your second source on the left column of page 1. And in the Drashas Tars Hashem Tamima, the Ramban critiques the Rambam's view on Hashgacha in light of the theory that we've seen him just present. Now, the Rambam's view on Hashgacha is complex as well, and I hope, God willing, to study that with you after Yantif. In fact, we'll even see, hopefully today, the Ramban himself in one place where we're about to read in Drashas Tars Hashem Tamima, really hits on the Ramban and critiques his view very harshly. In other places, he very much supports Rambam's view on Hashgacha, including in his commentary on Iyov, which we'll see shortly. The Drashas Tars Hashem Tamima, if you guys are looking for some enjoyable Yantif reading, is really very much a excellent resource. It's, in a sense, an easier way to get many of the Ramban's basic yesodos in Hashgafa. Most of the themes appear in his Pershah LaTorah, but they're scattered throughout. And when you're doing the Pershah LaTorah, so you have to worry about things like Parshanut. I don't think that's a bad thing. I think that's a good thing. But if you're not interested in Parshanut, just in Hashgafa, Not necessarily a good thing, but you can read the Drashas Tars Hashem Tamima. It's really a magnificent work, and again, you'll it brings a tremendous appreciation of the Ramban's thought, putting it together. Many things that are sort of appear in isolated places in the Pershah LaTorah, they're put together more holistically in that drasha. So, worth reading. Anyway, I guess let's take a look here. We'll go through it quickly because again, there is a lot of repetition from what we just read. V'nachzor l'inyanenu shehayinu bo levayer ki anisim morim al hachidush v'al hashkacha v'al yediyah ratzalama yediyah sapratim ki yediyah kodemes l'hashkacha u'mepnei shanis magdol meforsamim hamishatkin k'tanei amana enim nasim b'chol dor v'chulei al kein siva kadosh baruch hu l'asu zecher l'nisim tamid v'hichmir b'hem ki chiyav karis b'ameh alma shelo achol pesach v'karis al hachamit v'tziva kas v'inyin hamizuzo sabatim u'laniach ha'inyin kasov bizarro k'neged alev v'al rosho k'neged ha'moach markeves ha'nishama u'lahazkir bo b'chol yom b'feh v'yadua ki osim mitzvah b'lo kavana omi shelo yizbonen ba lo asa b'shlemos aval ha'mizbonen ba k'gon k'ana mezuzah b'dinar kava b'pischo v'niskavim lizbonen ba uvinyana hinei hodeh b'yichud v'chidosh ha'olam v'ashkacha. I'll just skip a little bit to where it's bolded next. Uksha'anu ma'aynim yafe anu roim she'en lo adam chilek b'tars Moshe Rabbeinu al v'ashalom ad she'yamin she'kol dvareinu u'maseinu kulam nisim ein b'am tavo minagol shel olam sh'arei yi'udei ha'torah kula nisim u'mosin k'morim heim ki rov b'nei adam svurim she'en ha'kel po'el tamid b'nisim el olam k'minagol noheg. Most people think that God is not constantly involved. Rather, nature runs its course. Olam k'minago noheg. V'chein sovrim rabim min hachachamim bali ha'iyon. And many people, even philosophers, think this as well. V'harav, meaning the Rambam, michlalam. So here he proves, he puts together the Rambam among those who make this terrible error. Ukshanu me'aynin yafa. Anu ro'in she'en l'adam chelek b'taras Moshe Rabbeinu alav ha'shalom ad she'yamin she'kol dvareinu ma'aseinu kulam nisim ein ban tavo min hagu shel olam ki im nomar she'atava hu mechalkel hakol v'hu ha'po'el ba'olam lo meis adam v'lo chaya b'avur zuchus ochova. Let's say a person believes in teva. So then a person would not die prematurely or live due to merits or as a form of punishment for the acts that he did. But we know that the Torah frequently does speak of punishments. Now, here we're going to see that it's not just of the nation, as we mentioned before, but also individuals. For example, a person who eats truma b'mezid is chayiv misavidei shamayim. So what is that? That is an individual dying, let's assume prematurely, due to his sin. Here we have an example of hashgacha in the individual. Now, I think, as you could see, I highlighted this word, b'chalkel hakol. I think there's an important distinction to be made, which is, Even if the Ramban assumes that everything is hashgacha, we'll see if that is in fact the opinion of the Ramban. See, it's not so simple. But even if one were to advocate that all-encompassing form of hashgacha, I think one would not claim that you're a kofer if you deny all-encompassing hashgacha. The Ramban only calls the person a kofer if they believe shateva mechalkel hakol. Meaning to say, if you deny hashgacha entirely, then you are a kofer. Even if you believe that, you know, the Ramban says everything is hashgacha, but you're only a kofir if you say that teva is mechalka lakol. In other words, if a person, let's say for a moment that the Ramban here is claiming that the Rambam is among the people who err by believing in teva. The Rambam certainly believed in some level of hashgacha, just wasn't all encompassing hashgacha. So you're the kofer if you believe that teva is mechalkel hakol. You're making a mistake, though you're not necessarily a heretic, if you say that there is some hashgacha but there's also some teva. You see this, by the way, in another passage, which did I include in the Hakdama to Eov. If you just jump to it for a moment, which is on the left column of page 2, Amar Mechaber, Davar Yadua Emuna B'Yadiyah Sakel Yisbarach V'minei Ashfalim V'Yishayim V'Ashkachaso B'Chlalam U'Vifratam Pinos Gedolos Mitaras Moshe Rabbeinu Alav Hashalom. The belief in Ashkacha is one of the fundamental principles of Torah. Ki ha-kofer b'zeh kofer b'tarkula kol ha-Torah b'chlala. Someone who denies hashkacha is denying all of Torah. V'chein ha-kofer b'hashkacha shiomer she'en ha-borei mashgiach b'vnei adam im yasu tovo ra'a. If you deny hashkacha by saying God doesn't care or pay attention, if people do good or bad, v'im yashkichem davar ha-kol mikra lahem, and if things happen to a person, ha-kol mikra lahem, everything is mikra. Lo b'chafetz aloka uvekavana, so not because of God's wishes. Gam lezeh in lo chelek lo mabah. Someone who believes that hakol mikra lahem, that everything is mikra, that everything that happens in the world is just mikra, is just teva, just minago shel olam. Such a person is no chelek in olam haba. The lo zikaron utzdaka b'torah, lo b'mitzvoseh v'lo b'yudehem. This is an important point, though somewhat parenthetical to our discussion. The Ramban assumes that a person who denies Hashkacha entirely has no chelak in Olam Haba, and moreover, there's no value whatsoever to his mitzvos. Meaning to say, if you do mitzvos, but you don't believe in Ikari Emuna, so you have no chelak in Olam Haba, like the Mishnah in the beginning of Perka Chelak says, and there's no value to your mitzvos. And he says a very interesting reason why. Ki lo yechuvan yechaven aleihem. Right? In other words, if I don't really believe in Ikar Yemuna, and I do the mitzvos anyway, well, why am I doing them? Why am I doing them? Maybe I'm doing them for social reasons. I don't know. For habit. Or whatever it is, but I've missed the whole point. So there's no value in those mitzvos. V'af lo b'nevuah, ki ha-nevuah hashkacha gedola b'emes. The Ramban has this idea in many places that there's little or no value in mitzvos for someone who isn't a maimon. For example, in Sefer HaMitzvos, he writes, you don't have this here, it's mitzvos to say, hey, he writes, Alavade kol inyan atfila eino chova klal. This is disagreeing with the Rambam. Aval humi midos chesed abor yisbarach aleinu sheshomea v'oneh b'chol koreinu elav. V'ikra akasov ulaavdo b'chol levavcha mitzvah saseh she tiyya kol avodosenu l'kel yisbarach b'chol levavenu. Klomar, b'kavana ritzuya shlema l'shmol uve'en hir hur ra lo shenaseh ha-mitzvos b'lo kavana o ala safek. Right, the mitzvah of lo avdo b'chol levavchem is that we do mitzvos because they're right, because Hashem commanded them, not because of any other reason, or even ala safek ulai yesh lahem toelas. Right, and this is the idea that we just saw him stressing in his Pirshei HaTorah, in Drash Drash Adam Tamima, the importance of, when doing mitzvos, paying attention to their idea, the idea of the mitzvos. Likewise, in Parshas Kisavo, on the Pasuk of Arurah, Shalo Yakim, as Divrei Torah Zos, Ramban writes, that someone shiyode b'mitzvos belito v'yia b'einav emes v'yamin she'oso son yia lo schar v'tova v'over le'ani anesh. If you believe in mitzvos and you do them, then it's a mitzvah. But if you don't, then you're bechlal arur. Right? Even partial rejection of the mitzvos, the Ramban says, is heretical over here. Anyhow, this is not just the Ramban's view. The Rambam as well writes that someone who does mitzvos but without Ikari Emunah has no chelak in Olam Haba, or no chelak in Bnei Yisrael, and his Hakdama to Perish Mishnah as other way, as well as other places. Yes?
Meaning, but the diuk from his Hakdama Le'iruv, and what we said, Mechalka, all aside, Lamaisa, he does say before that, that he doesn't have a chelak to Teres Moshe Rabbeinu.
So what I think he means, and I'll bring further evidence to this, is that that there's two levels. In other words, there's what the Ramban thinks is correct, and then there's what constitutes heresy, right? When he claims that the Rambam is among the people that erred in this respect, he wasn't claiming that the Rambam had no chelak in Taras Moshe, and no chelak in Olam Haba, and the like. The Ramban, though, disagrees with the Rambam, speaks very highly of the Rambam, the Nesher HaGadol. So there's a difference between an error, a theological error or a philosophical error, and heresy. I believe it's meduyak in all the writings of the Ramban that someone who, and again, sometimes you have to parse the words carefully, but someone who believes in hashgacha but denies the all-encompassing hashgacha might be an error, but we wouldn't say that ein lo chelak taras Moshe Rabbeinu or ein lo chelak olam haba. It's someone who thinks that it's mechalkel, that teva is mechalkel hakol, that is of this category. And that's because of the reasons that we said. Meaning to say, the Torah is explicit that there is hashgacha both for the klal and for yechidim. The Torah is not explicit that hashgacha is all-encompassing. Someone who believes that there is hashgacha, but it's not all-encompassing hashgacha, surely can believe in all the Ikari Emunah. They believe in God, that he's all-powerful, that he could do everything, and that he is involved, and he knows everything, and the like. They just say that sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu is directly involved, and sometimes he isn't. So again, that view might be wrong, but it's not heretical. And again, even the Ramban's view on this is quite complex, as we'll see. Let's read on in where we left off. Lo meis adam v'lo chaya bavur z'chus o chova. Right, this is someone who claims that teva is mechal kalakol, that nobody ever died prematurely due to mitzvos or aveiros that they did or didn't do. The achar shenamin ki akel hichris zeh ha over b'terem b'yomo b'teva. Once we say that God caused a person to die prematurely due to an aveira he did, hine yad Hashem asis azos v'shina es hateva kakriyas yamsof lifnei Adaso, the Tvias Oivav Betocho. Meaning to say, fundamentally, conceptually, there's no difference between splitting the sea and causing someone who does an Avera to die prematurely. Why? In both cases, the laws of nature have been broken. Meaning to say, according to the laws of nature, according to science, there is no connection between averos and premature death. Just like the laws of nature and gravity dictate that the sea doesn't split. So in both cases, the laws of nature are equally being violated. Now, it might be true that in one case it's obvious and clear, and in one case it's deniable. That's true. But fundamentally, there's no difference. And therefore, says the Ramban, since the Torah tells us that people will die prematurely, even individuals will die prematurely for their failure to follow the Torah, so the Torah is telling us this very point. Vinyan v'nasati gishmechem b'itam. Yiftach Hashem l'chas otzaro atov es Hashemayim l'seis metar artzacha b'ito. Shove im v'yusham mecha shal roshach ha'nechoshes. Yitein Hashem es metar artzacha v'afar. Kulam nisim omdim mishanim atoldos v'amareches al yona b'shamayim uv'aretz. Ki im ni'utz Hashemesh eino lach behelos ha'ed v'na'aretz. Lo yavo amatar betolda afilu yasu kol mitzvos yispalu v'yatsumu al agashamim. Same thing for tefillah. And Tanios, again, from a scientific perspective, there's no correlation between tefillah and fasting and rainfall. Zero. Zero. And yet the Torah says that it has an effect. That's the same thing as Kriyas Yamsuf. Vimu ra'ui lo rid matar, lo yimna b'shtachavos ha'am l'tzalim ploni. Klalo shel davar. Ki kol Yehudei HaTorah shel rabim l'tovah l'ra kulam nisim omdim u'mosim kayamim v'lachein part osam hakel b'torah. K'tzor shel davar l'fi shemei olam lo esbal adam l'kadosh baruch hu sheyitein lo tova sheyatzilenu me'ra'a lo kilas oivav b'shem ad shenamim b'nisim kulam kasher marti. Right? It's a remarkable thing. I always find this a little strange. Right? You could have people that daven for things like parnasa, and then they say, "What? I don't really believe in like so much hashgacha." So, what are you davening for? So, anyone who—that's what the Ramban says—who davens, for example, is clearly, at least if they pay attention to the words they're saying, articulating a belief that there is hashgacha. That there is that Hashem is involved in, let's say, something like Parnasa. Ki b'shinui tava olam nasa kol. V'lo b'inyan acher zulaso ze pirsum l'shanos tivo shel olam k'kriyas yamsof. Alkein netame min haRambam zal shehu megarei anisim u'magbir hateva. Now this is an important point, right? He's not claiming the Rambam, like we said, is a heretic. He's not claiming that the Rambam is denying Hashgacha. Surely that's not true. But what does he do? What makes us so astounded about the position of the Rambam? That his tendency to minimize miracles and maximize Teva. Right? Where do you see this? In a number of places of the Rambam. We'll have a chance to study the position of the Rambam more carefully. But if there's a way to explain something through Teva, as opposed to through Nisim, the Rambam will do this. And that's astounding. Why would he have that predilection? In other words, again, once he's moda that there are Nisim, and there is Hashgacha, so why minimize it? Why minimize it? V'omer she'ena Nisim omdim el lefisha'a heim. Right, the Rambam says Nisim are this temporary event, temporary violation of nature. V'ilukula mofsim omdim v'kayamim heim. Okay, good. Ad kan, the Ramban. So, what we're going to do now, that we finished the first half of today's shiur, is the first half of this today's shiur, we'll call these, we're going to see, focus on four passages in the Ramban. Four passages. Passage 1 and passage 2 we've seen already, in which the Ramban seems to be advocating an all-encompassing approach to Hashgacha. Passage 1 was the Parshas Bo, passage 2 is Drashas Taras Hashem Tamima, which we just read. Now what we're going to do is read passage 3 and passage 4, where the Ramban seems to take the opposite approach. Passage 3 is Bereishis Perek Yud Ches, that's right column of page 2 in the middle, and passage 4 is from his Perish on Eov, which is on the bottom of page 2, right column, going on to the top left column. And then what we're going to do next time is consider how to resolve this problem. But just to make sure you guys come back after Pesach and to ensure they have many sleepless nights over Ben Hazmanim, we're just going to quickly read Bereishis Perek Yud Ches. So this is what we're going to call passage 3. The pasuk there says, Ki yadativ l'man asher yitzaves banaves beisoach harav. It's talking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's special love, affinity for Avram, and why he chose Avram. And it says Ki yadativ. So the question is, what does Ki yadativ mean? I know him? What's the meaning of the word yediyah in this context? We actually discussed the Ramban's Mahalich about this in a different context, in terms of the Ramban's understanding of yediyah, as in a reference to Tashmish Amita and the like. But anyway, this is what we need for now. V'anachon be'inai, previously in that passage, he quoted different interpretations of what Ki yadativ means, Rashi and Ibn Ezra. Now he tells you what he thinks is the correct pshat. Shehi yediyah bo mamish, yirmos. Yirmos, so this is talking about yediyah. Yirmos, it's referring to Ki yediyas Hashem shi hashkachaso ba'olam hashafel, God's knowledge, which is his hashkacha in the lower world, he lishmu ha'klalim, it manifests itself through the watching over generalities. V'gam b'nei adam munachim ba'olam mikrim ad yavo eis pichud ha'sam, and people are left to chance. Mikra. I remember that word we saw many times before in a very different context. People are left to mikra. Ad es pikudasam. It's actually an interesting, not so clear how to translate that. We'll say for now, until their time of judgment arrives. Aval b'chasidav yasum elav libo ladaso so b'frat. When it comes to his chasidim, those his righteous, he watches over every detail in their life. Layos shmiraso davka botamid, constant shmira. Lo tipareta yediyah vazechira mimenu klal. So he never takes away his attention from them. He keeps them in mind always. Now, if you just had this paragraph, what would you say? The Ramban is saying that the hashkacha in terms of the general world is klali. Right, lishmar klalim, what's sometimes known as hashkacha klali. We'll have to define what that means a little later. And this is true for most people. Right, in other words, it's not just animals, but even people that are left to mikra ad es pikudasam, until either maybe it means their time of death, or until God sees fit to intervene to reward and punish them. But for the most part, he leaves them to the whims of nature, as opposed to tzadikim, chasidim. There, it's ki yadativ. There's knowledge. He knows them, meaning to say what? That he constantly guards them such that they're not subject to the randomness of nature. And that's what it means, that ki yadativ, that Hashem knows Avram. And continuing in this Ramban, he quotes a number of psukim that highlight this point. Namely, that tzaddikim are zocha to a special level of hashkacha, but most people aren't. So, for example, ketam, lo yigra mitzadik einav, a pasuk from Eov, that shows that Hashem's eyes are always on the tzaddik, but not necessarily everybody else. Uvzoza psukim rabin, there are many psukim that tested this. Kedachsev, yinei ein Hashem al yireyav, right? Ein Hashem Yireyav. Ein Hashem refers to Hashkachas Hashem, presumably. Hashem watches, protects, guards. Who? Yireyav. Who? Chasidav. Who? Tzadikav. But seemingly not everybody. Now this seems to be the view that the Ramban was rejecting before. Right? And he was rejecting it in the harshest of terms. On multiple occasions. And to make matters more confusing, he expresses this view that we just read also in the strongest terms on multiple occasions. Next time we'll see the Ramban in Iyov on that pasuk that he just quotes from Iyov Lamed Vav, the next source that highlights this as well. So this is a very perplexing idea, after all. He presents both of these ideas, you know. It's not like this slipped his mind. First of all, the Ramban never forgets anything. If you read Ramban, it's quite obvious. But this is like Yesoda Yesodos, and he presents both positions in multiple occasions in the strongest possible terms. So clearly there's not a stira, right? The Ramban did not see these two things as being soser each other. The question is, what did he mean? So that's what you could think about over the next couple weeks until we meet again after Yontif. This, I'm not the first person to be ma'orah this stira. If you look at the notes in Chevelle, for example, he points this out. Dr. Berger has an article on this if you're interested. There are other approaches to it. After Yontif, I'll tell you my two cents. But definitely something worth thinking about, and I would recommend reading up more on the topic before you get to it next time. Feel free, I would urge you to go on in the Mar Makomos that I gave you. And that. Okay, everybody should have a Chag Kasher V'Sameach. I hope what we saw today will give you new insights to your Yontif. It's very easy to find. If you don't find it, send me an email and I'll send you the link. Yes, that's a big Shabbos. In the event that you didn't sign